Well, good morning. Happy New Year to everyone. Glad to see that you all survived the beginning of the new year. Didn't party too hard, and hope you all had a Merry Christmas as well. This morning, as we continue to move through the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation and see what God is doing and how God is progressing in this plan that He is working out, we come to the book of Obadiah. Now, Obadiah is one of the small minor prophets, so I'm telling you that ahead of time so you can turn then there. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, I think. I get them right some days, and other days you just say them so fast that people think you get them right. It's kind of like the names in the Old Testament. You say them fast and pretend you know what you're doing. People believe you every time. There are some events in our lives that just crystallize our life. They become an event that is foundational to everything going forward from there. Some of those are on a personal note. Some of them come in a community or in a communal basis. And others are more of a national deal. These events happen, and take for instance a wedding. A wedding, most generally, is an event that involves two families and sets the course of the future for two people in a singular direction. There are events like the shooting of a high school football coach in a small community in Iowa that brings the community together and moves it forward. And then there are events like four hijacked airplanes that were used as missiles on September 11th of 2001. That have changed many things within the United States, and not least of which are the regulations concerning airlines and airports. Each event crystallizes the lives of people. Now, each of those levels have an opportunity to affect the way that we treat other people. Take the attacks of 9/11. Subsequently, think about the events of May 2nd, 2011. Okay, you might not remember May 2nd, 2011, but possibly you remember the events of that day, as that was the day that the special forces killed Osama bin Laden in response to the 9/11 attacks and other attacks that had been linked to him. Can you remember your emotions on September 11th? Can you remember what you were feeling that day as the events began to unfold, and then our understanding of the events began to come together, and we began to understand what was taking place? Can you remember your emotions of hearing the news of May 2nd? I remember my emotions on May 2nd as much as September 11th, because I remember hearing of bin Laden's death and feeling a sense of elation. A feeling of success for our nation, only to have that emotion soon replaced by sorrow in my soul. See, I know that there are events in our lives, individually and collectively, that we respond to the same way that I responded to bin Laden's death. You see, I get it. We want to see justice carried out. We want to see see what we believe is right to prevail. We want to see what is at least our understanding of justice carried out. Yet, many times, our sense of equal retaliation, our sense of justice, is maybe a bit prejudiced and unbalanced. And it's always been that way. This isn't something new with our generation. It isn't something new with the media that we have. It's the reason that God said when He gave the law to the Israelites in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You limit the punishment that can be meted out to equal or less than what the perceived wrong was done. I believe also it's an important lesson that we learn from the small book of the prophet Obadiah. Now, I have to admit that I read this a couple of times trying to understand why the book of Obadiah was included in the canon of the Jewish scriptures. What is it about Obadiah that made it a message that the Israelites would care about? Because the book of Obadiah is written to Edom. It's written to the Edomites, not to the Israelites. What is the message that they found so important that they carefully kept and preserved this small 21-verse book in their canon? Well, we're going to read the first 15 verses this morning, and then I hope we'll see what it is about Obadiah that made it beneficial for the people of Israel and makes it beneficial for you and me to see what God has to say. The vision of Obadiah. This is what the Sovereign Lord says about Edom. We have heard the message from the Lord, and envoy was sent to the nations to say, "Rise, let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights. You who say to yourself, 'Who can bring me down to the ground?' Though you soar like an eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves come to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? But how Esau will be ransacked, his hidden treasures pillaged. All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive you and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. In that day, declares the Lord, I will not destroy the wise man of Edom, those of understanding in the mountains of Esau. Your warriors, Teman, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter because of the violence against your brother Jacob. You will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. On the day you stood aloof while strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor gloat over them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head." We could go on, but that's the portion I want to focus on this morning, because I think it's in the words of God to Edom through the prophet Obadiah. He makes a statement to the people of Israel as well. The first of those is the fact that difficult times will come. Difficult times are going to come. God is speaking to the nation of Edom. He's speaking to the descendants of Esau, and what he's saying to them is bad things are going to happen to people. Sometimes it's because we deserve it. If we look at Obadiah and we think about the context, he's writing to Edom, but if you read what he's saying, he's speaking about the time when Israel would be taken or was taken captive into Babylon. He's talking about the time when the Babylonians came and they besieged Jerusalem and the people fled, and some of those people, as they were fleeing, were surrounded by the Edomites and brought back to the Babylonians. And the thing is sometimes when these bad things happen, it's because the people who are experiencing them deserve it. Israel had had its warnings. Israel had been warned by God. They had been called back to repentance by the prophets. They had had their opportunities to relent of their sinfulness and to return to the worship of the Lord. But some of the prophets they killed, others they abused, and still others they just ran off and ignored. They weren't going to have anything to do with what the prophets called them to do, and so eventually God said, "The time has come, it's now. It's now the day of judgment." And he used the Babylonians to come and take the Israelites into captivity. And the truth of the matter is we experience the same things. That there are times when the difficult times that we experience in life are deserved. When we have come to the point when we're experiencing difficulties, when we're experiencing troubles, and it's because we have not listened, we have not accepted, we have not repented and returned to the Lord. The prophet or the apostle Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, beginning with verse 12, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you have been insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of God rests, or the Spirit of the glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. For it is time for the judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And it is hard for the righteous to be saved. What will become of the ungodly and sinner? So, then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Peter looks and he says that there are different reasons that people suffer. There are different reasons that bad things happen to people. He says, but one of them is because as followers of Christ, as servants of the Lord, we're not always faithful. We're not perfect people. And sometimes we refuse to listen when God calls us to repent. And if God calls us to repent and we refuse to listen and we continue down a path of harm, if we continue down a path of deceiving ourselves, eventually God will begin His judgment in the household of God. If you've raised children, you know that there are times when you have to punish your children. Whether you really want to or not, there are times when you just have to punish your children. They may make you laugh at something they've done, but you still have to punish them. They may make you feel really awful when you punish them, but you have to punish them. And one of the things that we see from Obadiah as Obadiah is speaking to the Edomites is the fact that God says the Israelites deserved their punishment. And sometimes that punishment that we experience, the Israelites were experiencing that punishment within God's proportions. God says, this is the punishment you deserve, and He allows that punishment to be carried out. And so He uses the Babylonians. The Babylonians come and they destroy the city of Jerusalem, and they take some of the Israelite captives. They bring some of them to the sword, and others of them they leave to take care of some of the land. And sometimes those punishments come within God's proportions. But sometimes they move outside of God's will. Sometimes those who bring the punishments begin to think too highly of themselves. They begin to take outside of the scope of what God has intended, and they carry it farther than God wanted. And we see that as we look through what Obadiah is saying to the Edomites, because the Edomites are doing things that go beyond what God had planned. God brought the Babylonians into Judea to take His people captive, to mete out punishment, but the Edomites take it a step farther. And eventually the Babylonians take it a step farther, and because they go beyond what God had ordained them to do, they will face their own punishment. But difficult times will come. Sometimes because we deserve it. But at other times, it's because of the decision of other people. Sometimes the difficult times that come our way are because of our own decisions or the decisions of other people. And in this particular case, I want us to consider the other people. Because here we have the Edomites. They're going to do some things that God said they shouldn't be doing. They're going to set out and wait for those who are fleeing from the Babylonians and round them up and take them back. They're going to take part in some looting and pillaging of the cities and the homes of the Israelites. They're going to take place and take part in the persecution of the Israelites. And sometimes we suffer because of the decisions of other people, and one way that happens is through persecution. Through those times when other people hear that we're followers of Jesus, sometimes we may not experience it on a great level here in the United States. We still enjoy great security. We still enjoy a great peace. But that doesn't mean that's always the case. Peter writing to the church in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with the 13th verse, he says this. He says, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord, always being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Sometimes we're going to suffer persecution on different levels. We will suffer because somebody else decides they don't like the message of sin that has to be proclaimed before the message of salvation can be accepted. You see, the world around us likes a lot of things that the church says. Likes the fact that we proclaim peace. Likes the fact that we would talk about taking care of the poor and the needy and meeting the needs of those who have less. The world around us likes those kinds of things. What the world doesn't like, what the world finds difficult with the message, is the fact that we proclaim that there is a Savior and that we are in need of a Savior. And when the world hears that they are sinners in need of a Savior, and that there is only one Savior, who is Jesus Christ the Lord, who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, was raised by the glory of, by the power of God, and then who ascended to sit as the King on a throne, they don't like that message of hope, that message of salvation, because they don't like to have to deal with their sinfulness. And eventually, they get to the point where they can't ignore it, they can't deny it. And so what they do is the same thing that the Israelites did to the prophets. They abuse them. They neglect them. They run them out of town, and on chance, at times they kill them. And that's what God is saying to Edom. Do not misuse, do not abuse people who are less fortunate than you. You see, God was using the Babylonians, but He had not authorized the Edomites to take part. And so God is writing to the descendants of Esau, and He's telling them, look, this is what's going to happen because you've made these decisions. And sometimes we face persecution because we follow Jesus Christ. And sometimes difficult times come because of other people's decisions, well, simply as collateral damage, we might say. Sometimes we suffer because somebody else is going to face the judgment of God. Sometimes we suffer because somebody else is facing persecution. Sometimes we suffer just because somebody else made a bad decision, and a bad decision led to a result that wasn't intended. And we face the consequences. There were a lot of good people in Israel. There were probably some people in Israel who who remained faithful to God throughout the time of the prophets. People who lived lives of faithfulness, who repented of sins when they sinned and turned back to God when they knew they had wandered. people who didn't deserve the punishment that was coming on the whole nation. But they suffered because of the bad choices of other people. They suffered because of the decisions that other people had made. And sometimes we suffer the same way. And so the book of Obadiah first tells the people that difficult times will come. And the Israelites knew this. They had lived through these difficult times, but sometimes it's important for us to have the reminder that difficult times will come. Especially when things are going quite well, we need to be reminded that life isn't always a smooth road. But difficult times will come. The other side of the coin is an understanding of how we react when difficult times come to other people. How do we react to the bad things that happen to others? How do we react when something devastating comes into the life of someone else, especially somebody that we don't necessarily get along with that well? Well, the book of Obadiah tells us and reminds us that we're not supposed to rejoice in the afflictions and the difficulties in other people's lives. See, it's easy for us to see something bad happen to somebody we don't like and to begin to rejoice. To begin to think, yes, I'm glad that happened to them. It's the response that's natural at times, I think, because of sin in our lives. It was my reaction when I heard that Osama bin Laden had been killed. It was a moment of rejoicing, and then the moments of sorrow that followed, because, well, we don't always understand the whole picture. We don't always see the whole thing. But when it's somebody that we know and they've hurt us, it's easy to get caught up in the sense of happiness when something bad happens to them. I mean, it's why we can sing songs that speak of enjoying bad things happening to other people. Because we can be happy. Unfortunately, we can be happy when bad things happen to other people. But Obadiah teaches us that our reaction should be something different. He doesn't necessarily tell us what our reaction should be, he just tells us what it shouldn't be. You see, we might say it this way. In our colloquial language today, we might make the statement, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Right? Have you ever said that before? Well, that really, according to the book of Obadiah, is supposed to be our attitude. No matter what bad things we experience, no matter what bad things we see happening to other people, we should be able to look at that and say, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. And that's what Obadiah is telling the people of Edom. You should have had more respect for the descendants of Jacob than that. We should have more respect for other people than that, because those people are the creation of God. And they don't deserve punishment any more than we do. And they deserve grace just as much as we do. And here's the truth. Probably, if you're looking at somebody else and thinking they're getting what they deserve, you probably deserve at least that much, if not more. Punishment and chastisement from God. And if you look at them and begin to think that they don't deserve grace, they don't deserve the opportunity to hear and respond to the message of God, then you probably don't deserve grace any more than they do. Maybe even less. But here's the truth. Through Jesus Christ, God has offered each one of us grace upon grace. And He has not brought the punishment that any of us deserve. And if God has given us grace and God has not meted out the punishment that we deserve, we should not rejoice when somebody else suffers. We should be willing to offer them grace instead of celebrating in their misfortune. We should be willing to look at them as people who need the message of Jesus Christ and need the love of God as much or more than we do, yes, but we don't get to judge how much punishment they deserve. And so we should not rejoice when others suffer, and Obadiah teaches us as well that we should not overstep the boundaries when God calls us to act. You see, Sometimes we seek our own good to the detriment of other people. We seek our own benefit. We seek our own pleasure. We seek our own good standing before the Lord. And we do it so that other people are injured. Other people are turned away from God, not because the message of salvation is difficult, but because, well, we just are unpleasant to other people. Pardon me. Fighting a cold, and I'm succeeding, but I'm fighting. The Edomites were seeking to benefit from the bad things that were happening to the Israelites. They were plundering the city. They were plundering the houses. And God looks at them and says, you know, it's bad enough. It's bad enough that you were elated when they started to suffer. It was worse when you decided that you would round up the fugitives and return them. But you have really overstepped what I would want you to do when you began to loot and to pillage what was theirs. You see, Edom thought that they would bolster their own position in how they treated the Israelites and in the things that they could acquire from the Israelites. And God said, no. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And we have to be careful that we don't make ourselves look so pious that the world around us is turned off from the gospel, not because of the truth of the message, but because we pretend to be so much better than we are, so much more deserving of the grace of God that has been given to us than we are, so much better than they are, that we turn them away. And we also have to be careful that we don't try to pile up and collect everything for ourselves and to bring it closer and closer to us and to begin to pretend like the gospel is only for a few. And I happen to be one of the few. And it's my message. It's the message that God gave me, and I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to protect it, and I'm going to bring a few other people around me who I like and who are close to me, and we're just going to keep this all together. And those people over there, we're not going to worry about them. We're going to grab it for ourselves and stockpile it because, well, one day we may not have enough. But the truth of the matter is we can't overstep our boundaries. The good news isn't just for us. We don't get to decide who's invited. See, I think when the Israelites began to collect some of the prophets' writings, when they began to look through these things that had been saved and stored, they came to Obadiah. And while Obadiah was written to the Edomites, it became a good reminder and a good lesson for them about how to deal with difficult times. It was a reminder of the captivity in Babylon and how bad things got. But it was a reminder that when the bad things happened, it was because they deserved it. Oh, it may have gone a little farther than God desired, but it was because they deserved it. But it was also a reminder that when they saw things happening to the people around them, that they were supposed to treat them with respect and dignity, not with feelings of animosity, and not with feelings of disdain, and not with a what can I get for me out of this attitude. And I think for us as followers of Christ, the message is the same. We don't have to worry about the Edomites coming and ransacking us today. At least I don't think so. But you know, we do have to deal with difficulties. None of us live perfect lives where everything goes perfect. I think if we did, we'd be a lot less likely to be sitting here this morning. Because, well, quite frankly, if you live a perfect life, you don't need a Savior. And if you don't need a Savior, you have no need to be here. You should be out on the street selling books about how to have the perfect life. But we face difficulties, we face challenges, and we know that the answer to those is our relationship with God. And so this morning, we're going to sing one more song. And if you don't know the peace, if you don't know the strength of God in the difficult times of life, we're going to sing one more song, and I'd invite you to come. And we just begin a conversation about how to have that life. Let's stand together as we sing.